Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront talks to actor Russell Hornsby about his role in the new Fox series, Proven Innocent. I also chat with Yolanda Latimer of Dryer Buzz about the highs and lows of entertainment during Black History Month. We'll also be playing sounds from Erykah Badu, who celebrated a birthday this week. But first, here's Reva Blue with this week's casting buzz and entertainment news.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
CAB Casting is looking for extras for the OWN series, Greenleaf. The shoot will take place on Friday, March 8th. The shoot is in need of 20 millennial basketball players, rappers, and industry types, as well as 20 fashion-forward millennial women and groupie types. If chosen, you will be asked to attend a fitting that will take place on Monday, March 4th, or Tuesday, March 5th. If this is you or someone you know, please send a recent and clear photo along with your name, phone number, age, weight, and sizes to greenleafextras@gmail.com with B-Ball Party Guest 3/8 in the subject line of the email. In theaters this weekend is Madea Family Funeral. A joyous family reunion turns into a hilarious nightmare as Madea and her crew travel to Backwoods, Georgia and unexpectedly plan a funeral which threatens to reveal sordid family secrets. According to Tyler Perry, this is Madea's last film as he is retired the gun-toting granny for good. TV One's award-winning music series Unsung returns tomorrow evening for a new and exciting season. Look out for profiles on R&B heartthrob Lloyd, 90s songstress Adina Howard, 80s family band The Jets, singer-songwriter Shirley Murdoch, house music legend Crystal Waters, crooner Glenn Jones, vocalist Kenny Lattimore, and contemporary gospel musician Tasha Cobbs Leonard. Unsung celebrates the lives of trailblazing musicians whose full stories and journey have yet to be explored. That's this week's Casting Buzz and Entertainment News. I'm Reva Blue.
Peace world, it's the Love King Raheem Devon, and you're listening to Ray Cornelius on Upfront.
My first segment is a recap of the good, the bad, and the ugly in entertainment during Black History Month. I called upon my blogger buddy and media maven Yolanda Latimer of Dryer Buzz to chat about everything from Jussie Smollett to Oscar So Black. Here's part one of the conversation.
Yolanda Latimer, welcome back to Upfront.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm awesome. Absolutely awesome. Yeah. Fabulous.
I'm glad to see you here. You know, I called you at the last minute. And I appreciate you.
That's the best time to get me. Be spontaneous. I don't have time to say no.
This is Yolanda Latimer of Dryer Buzz, a.k.a. Buzz is what I like to call you. I'm always,
I know.
I'm like Buzz.
You like Buzz. I was like, okay.
So we're talking about some just, you know, we've had an amazing Black History Month.
Did
we're
we?
Now, I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
In retrospect.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
You know, and so we just kind of wanted to do a recap of all things entertainment, all things arts and culture that were taking place during Black History Month, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Right. And then the buzz.
Yeah. So let's start with the ugly.
Oh.
You know, we're going to, you know, we've talked about this. So many people have talked about this to now that it's like, I don't even want to talk about this, but we have to talk about it. Because Cardi B said, you know what, you have ruined Black History Month that we're talking about.
and Cardi B is our thermometer now, right?
Yeah.
She's like, you know, it's hot.
Yeah. So we're talking about the whole situation with Jussie Smollett, the Empire actor who is now being accused of staging a hate crime that took place on January 29th. Apparently, he was leaving a Subway sandwich shop at 2 a.m. in the morning and was allegedly attacked by two men who beat him, made derogatory comments, and yelled or allegedly yelled, "This is MAGA country," and that was a reference to President Trump's campaign slogan, "Make America Great." And then all of a sudden, you know, there was, you know, this news of, you know, there's no video footage, and, you know, he's not handing over his phone.
Because, I mean, in this day and time, if there's no video, did it happen?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, you cannot, especially on a Chicago street or on a New York street, you can't go two steps without being recorded.
So there was no video. And then when they found the two suspects, you know, the guys that allegedly attacked him.
The little bit of imagery they did have.
These were two Nigerian brothers, Abel and Ola, who had worked on the show and were apparently
trainers of his.
Exactly.
Well, see, let's go back to the fact that social media has permeated everything.
Yeah.
Okay. So the narrative came out, Jussie Smollett attacked. It has to do with Trump supporter, and we were supposed to take that and run with it, right? But people were like, okay, where's the video? Because we all know, like, there's got to be some kind of image. You went to a subway, you know, you there's some video.
And everybody had all of their assumptions of why was he up at 2 a.m., what was going on, all that stuff.
I mean, even in Atlanta now, we get that question in Atlanta now, why are you out at 2 a.m.? But do you know Atlanta is the best city at 2 a.m. when we are becoming a 24-hour city?
We are.
Chicago is already a 24-hour city. So especially if you think about the music industry, or, you know, he could have been coming from
some
set.
Some people start recording
at
12.
I mean, that's life. Right?
Yeah.
That's
life.
I mean, to ride through Atlanta at 2 a.m. I mean, Will Smith, they were out making the movie last night at 2 o'clock. They started at 2 o'clock. So that's neither here nor there. The issue in this situation is that the reinvestigating of the incident came because of this push from social media. We're like, wait a minute. Social media's not believing this. Maybe we need to look at this again. I will say, I think we will never get the truth in this because we've gotten to a point where the court of public opinion is winning. We should all be concerned about that. Now, in some cases, it's good. We had a case here in Atlanta where a couple of cases where people didn't, like, believe, you know, the first story that was put out. The gentleman who shot his wife in a ride, he's now convicted. Mm. The guy that shot, he was sitting in the backseat. Oh, my God, I can't remember
this happened a couple of days ago.
Okay. No, this is the trial. He's already been convicted.
Okay.
But the story was, oh, they were just riding, they hit a bump, the gun went off, right? And everybody was like, no. Or even the hot car death.
Okay.
You know, that father is in prison right now because of the social media pushback. Because, you know, the news can no longer just drop a story anymore. Everybody wants a little bit more hardcore evidence. And that's why I say we have to worry when the court of public opinion starts winning, because I feel like we're not going to get the truth here, because it seems like the brothers or the story now is benefiting from the doubt that's out there.
And here's the thing. So it was allegedly, you know, he did this because he, you know, there are stories that he was upset about his salary. You know, he was a little bit upset about
the way his career was going. Like, nobody investigated that.
Yeah.
These are things that people said on social media. Oh, I know Jesse. He's upset about his salary. Oh, I know Jesse. He's frequenting this website. All of these things. And now you've got the Chicago PD out on a press tour. Okay, they were on, there's another viral video. The superintendent of the Chicago PD is riding this wave like everybody else.
Yeah.
Here is something we can make the Chicago PD look good, and you can't, because now they're getting pushed back. They're like, wait a minute, how many investigators did you have on this, Jussie Smollett, when we have X amount of murders that we need investigated? So there's a lot, all eyes are on Chicago right now. For particular reasons, Black history, it's 2019. We're 100 years out from the worst riot that ever happened in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And it was over a situation, a misunderstanding that ended up being a race riot over swimming.
Mm.
So there were those who are leaders, who are history buffs, that are concerned with, you know, Chicago still being a tinderbox, or some city in America, because of where we are in our political climate, some city in America becoming a tinderbox. So we have to be kind of grateful and thankful that social media was like, oh, no, Jussie. Because think about it, people would have overreacted from this. Had it not been the Arctic wave, people would have been marching.
Yeah. And it's crazy because I've met Jussie a couple of times. Really nice guy. And for a lot of us, we're all asking, why?
Why?
You know what I mean? Because if this man, you know, the word on the curb is he's making $65,000 per episode.
Right.
There's 18 episodes. You're looking at $1 million, $1,170,000.
Word on the curb is that the people on Empire are making far less than they all deserve.
Right.
They all deserve. And I mean, that's the industry thing. And Taraji, and to go along with that, Taraji did a recent interview talking about how, I mean, she's the top woman in Hollywood right now, and she's just not making the money. She you know, they, you hear the, how important they are, they're just not making the money. So that was something that could be easily said because people already know that's the story that's out there.
Thank you, Yolanda, and we'll hear more from her later on. But first, I had a chance to chat with veteran star of stage and screen, Russell Hornsby, during SCAD's A TV Fest. He's starring in Fox's new series, Proven Innocent, which tells the emotional story of one woman's fight to prove the innocence of wrongfully convicted people. The show features Hornsby as Easy Boudreaux, the very lawyer who helped set her free after 10 years in prison. Here's what he had to say about his character, his film, The Hate U Give, and the wonder of August Wilson.
I gotta first of all say, I felt like you were snubbed. Mm-hmm. You should have received an Oscar nomination for The Hate U Give. I loved that role. I mean, you were just amazing in that. So how was that experience, that just doing that that film?
It was an experience like no other. It really transformed me as a man, as a husband, and as a father. You know, I was a lot more deeply engaged with the other actors and young people that I have ever been. I realized that I had transitioned now into mentor mode now. You know, it's now time for me to look down and no longer look up. If you understand what I'm saying. So I'm here to like reach back down and give these kids something that they can feel, something that they can, that can engage them. You know, some words of wisdom or something like that. And so it has to no longer be about Russell Hornsby. It has to be about how Russell Hornsby can engage and inspire young people. And that's what I look to do. And it's one of those things that just kind of, it just happened. You know what I mean? I didn't walk into it going, this is how I'm gonna do it. You just see a void, you know what I mean? And you fill it. And that's what I did. And it was beautiful, honestly.
Yeah. Let's talk about your character, Easy.
Yes, sir.
For Proven Innocent. What was it about him that you were like, yes, I got to do this, I want to do this?
Well, the subject matter, first of all, you know, dealing with the what I like to call the unjust or injustice system, being able to shed some light on that, I think is very important. And, you know, we're talking about edutainment, so we have to sort of, you know, put a spoonful of sugar to help the medicine go down, you know? But also, I think for me, the character of Ezekiel Easy Boudreaux really pulled me in. Because I felt like there was an opportunity to have a man present. Do you know what I mean? To have a black man present. And to show that, again, that we love our wives, we love our kids, we can be educated, intelligent, intellectuals, and that we stand strong and tall. And I think, and I felt like that was important. And so those are some dynamics that Russell Hornsby wanted to bring into that. And to the credit of David Elliott and Danny Strong, the creator and the producer, they said run with that. And I realize now, as I get older and just more entrenched in my career, I now know who Russell is. So when you hire me, this is what you're gonna get. And again, I got all kinds of flavor for you, this, that, the third. I can come here, I can come from here, or I can come from down, you know what I mean? Anywhere you like, I can come with it. And I think that's just important, you know, that because I know who I am, I'm coming with the conscious piece, the heart and passion as well, you know.
One more question. Absolutely. You spent a lot of time on stage. We've known you for your work with August Wilson. Mm-hmm. What is it about that August Wilson that just keeps you coming back to his work?
Man, it's real. It's honest. It's for the people and it's by the people. It is of the people. That's what's important. It's like, I mean, listen, let me tell you something. I learned so much from reading and performing some of those 10 plays. It ain't even funny. I learned some about my history, about my culture, about my people. And that, again, that's what inspired me to walk with passion and confidence and find Russell Hornsby. The thing is, it's like my essence. You know, I was raised in Oakland and August and working with all these brothers. And, like, you can still be black. You can be yourself. And like I said, still be intelligent, still be bright, still be articulate. But we got soul. And August taught me, brother, your soul, use it, let's go. That's what we want. That's what we're feeling. And I walk with confidence in that. I'm black as I want to be. You know what I mean? Like, you start to believe I'm bad. Like, I'm bad. You know what I mean? Like, that's what August, he instilled the confidence and belief that, hey, you are something. You know what I mean? You're a black man, black woman, whatever, and love yourself, love each other. It's this dynamic. So I'm like, wow, I didn't realize how much he poured in me until you get older and you have to reach back and find these characters that go, okay, I'm gonna take that from the two trains running. I'm gonna take a little bit of that from Jitney, from one of the characters over here, got a little something. I go, wow, okay.
Yeah.
He's in me.
Russell Hornsby, thank you so much, and congratulations on Proven Innocent.
I appreciate it.
Proven Innocent airs every Friday evening at 9 p.m. on Fox.
Don't want no trouble, just a little loving. Don't want your money, just want to get to know you. And you need to get to know me. I want to make you wonder, lightning and thunder. And I get it from my mama.
Cassie Davis here. You're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius. Take it away, Ray!
Now back to the second half of my Black History Month recap with Yolanda Latimer.
Let's get to the bad. Jennifer Lopez headlining the Motown tribute, you know, during this year's Grammy Awards. You know, when I first heard the news, I was literally sitting at my in my dining room table.
The news.
We were eating dinner, right. My sister, my niece, and the commercial came up. And it said, oh, and J-Lo with a Motown tribute. And it was like, huh?
but you know what? If we would have seen Tina Marie Motown tribute, would have been like excited. Let me and I'm not on the fence on this.
Yeah.
Let me say this. Let's put Black History Month in context, okay?
Okay.
We just had the 91st Oscars, right? We are now in the 93rd, because one of the things is we don't do this. We are in the 93rd observance of Black excellence, okay? That's 2 years prior to the, but here we are trying to get on these award shows when we were 2 years celebrating us prior to any of this. And you know, if we had a show, it was a show, and everybody's probably like, okay, we need an award show if they're going to celebrate. So first and foremost, my only opinion on this is J-Lo should have said no. She should have said, I'm not worthy. No way. No. She just should have said no. There, you can't go beyond that. You cannot go beyond that. Except for the fact, if you know Berry Gordy and Smokey Robinson, for all of time, all of Motown history, the crossover, we've got to get that pop artist on Motown. We've got to get that pop artist. Even though they had, because you know, every artist had to end up leaving Motown and crossing over, right? So if you know the business of, nobody knows the business of entertainment better than Ray Cornelius, right? But if you know, if you go on the Broadway and you've seen Motown, you know that Berry Gordy and how he operates, from even Berry Gordy has so many gems out there. He even talked about when he sold newspapers and he was getting ready to go do something else, and he tried to hand that route off to another young man. And he talked about in his mind, he operates. One is great. When you're a Black American walking into a room, is one of you walking is great. Two is a threat. He operates in that mode, right? And so all of Motown history, getting Diana to do the one song that we all love, "The World Needs Now."
Yeah,
that's a waltz.
Yeah.
And if you see the movie Motown, if you listen to Diana,
he was trying to get her to sing that song, and she didn't want to do it.
She didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
Because it didn't speak to our community. We don't waltz. But he was like, no, you need to do it. We just know it's Diana.
Yeah.
And we want to hear it everywhere. But the crossover aspect to that is the fact that it is a waltz, right? So if you know Berry Gordy, and if you know the comments of Smokey after calling everybody stupid, okay, then you know that J-Lo is what they wanted.
Yeah.
Okay, because wow. The first part about it was you had to approve. They had to say, okay.
I just, you know, in my head, I just felt that there, and here's what I found out after learning that she was doing that there is going to be a Motown 60 special.
Why
that
not?
Has, you know,
but
Diana and Smokey and Stevie and, you know, all of the living icons that are going to be performing on that show. But, I, you know, for many of us, it was just like there's just so many African-American
stars. But why not lead? If something is coming, why not lead in with a controversy? It got everybody talking about Motown. It got everybody looking up Motown. Everybody's right now downloading and sampling. All the young artists, oh, let me go. J-Lo was on. Let me go sample a Motown track, yeah. Right? I mean, they got good checks this month. They got good residuals. Because, I mean, Smokey is, what, 100? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it is what it is. J-Lo should have said no. Moving on.
Yeah. So let's get to the good.
The good.
Was, you mentioned,
the biggest
Oscars.
Surprise.
Yeah. I mean, literally.
We weren't ready.
Oh, my God. I was loading up my photos on Instagram,
right.
And it was back-to-back African-American
winners.
And you thought
you'd have just a couple.
I thought this was NAACP Image Awards.
That's what I said. We don't need an Image Award. We always need an Image Award.
Yeah.
But it was like, because I thought, okay, cool, we got one. And yeah. I'm like, okay, I'm going to cheer for the rest of the night.
The show kicked off with Regina King winning Best Supporting Actress. And then we moved into Ruthie Carter, who won Best Costume for Black Panther,
right.
She had been nominated, what, three times?
Oh, my God. And the history there. I love. She shared a picture of a young Ruth on her Instagram. What I love, Oscars did this thumb stopper video of everybody where they walked through this thing, and I shared that.
Oh yeah.
It was like, that was amazing. But like I said, we weren't ready for this. I knew it was going to be something, because the last time the Oscars invited both Spike and Tyler. It drew a lot of attention, because when you can have a year that Spike is not boycotting the Oscars, it's a good year for the Oscars.
Yeah.
But I thought they were going to get snubbed. We weren't ready for this.
Yeah.
And then
right after Ruthie Carter was Hannah Beechler, who everyone is now looking up and trying to figure out who is this fabulous woman. She picked up the award for production design and was the first African-American and female to win that award. Following her was Mahershala Ali for Best Supporting Actor.
Mm-hmm. We have Spike to talk Lee. About that, too.
Oh, my
that
gosh.
Movie.
We'll come back to that.
Okay.
Spike Lee picked up Best Adapted Screenplay and his first Oscar.
Yeah, first.
Yeah.
That's crazy. You got to wonder. My question is, who did not want to see Spike in the winner's circle? Because we know, I mean, it's been controversial. In fact, every time Spike does a project, it's controversy. You know, that's in the narrative. But to see... I was shocked when I saw his surprise, not in winning, but in being nominated. When he shared the video of the nominations and how he just jumped all around the room, you're like, wait, but don't we boycott this thing? You're like, wait, it's okay. We can be excited now, you know?
Yeah.
And just his excitement. But when we think about it, this film starred Denzel's son. How many movies did Spike do with Denzel? Not counting the iconic Malcolm X.
Yeah.
But yet to finally get an Oscar with spanning a generation. It took a generation.
Mm.
We can't overlook that. It took a generation. And then he didn't get it for, you know, directorial
or
the acting or it.
Or Best Picture.
Best Picture.
Yeah.
It wasn't Best Picture, but... It spanned a generation. He did not get a chance to stand on that stage with Denzel, okay? But yet, with his son, grown son, not your child, his grown son, we gotta ask questions about that. What was that?
Yeah.
And we need to know, because we're that culture that we want to know. Why did you make us wait a generation for the dude to stand up there in a purple suit, okay?
with the gold Jordans,
yeah. Okay? And then to even have to use his acceptance speech to address our political climate in 2019 at the 91st Oscars, 2 years after we celebrated Black excellence, you make us wait a century, okay? Spike movie... What Spike is that, 40 years, 30 years?
It's been
you make us
like
wait a
years.
Generation. Let's use that terminology, Hollywood Academy. You make us wait a generation to honor a young man. Because think about if a young Spike had walked away with an Oscar for even School Days. Can you imagine the trajectory that we would have been on? I'm going to get mad because... We started, people like to say we started at the bottom. We started at the top. We started with Paul Robeson, whose father was an escaped slave. And in one generation, his son excelled in every industry. Your father escaped slavery, and you excelled in acting, in a scholar.
Sports.
You can't even be the attorney that you are because they don't allow you in the courtroom. So they got you in a room writing every pleading every order. Okay, you lose your mom in the kitchen because her clothes are flammable. You know what I'm saying? And then you make us wait to the 91st. You first of all, you blacklist Paul Robeson, and we get up there with a guy in the purple suit and the gold Jordans over a movie about the Klan. I'm just saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and then you want us, and then you want to be forgiven. You want redemption. Okay, but he still lost to a movie about what's the terminology they use? Oh my God, what is it, y'all? What's the term? What do they call it? The white savior.
Yeah, yeah.
He still lost to a white savior film.
So let's talk about Green Book, because a lot of folks were, you know, I personally,
it's not our movie.
I personally thought that Bohemian Rhapsody was going to pick up, yeah, or Roma.
I watched Roma that day. And I thought, okay, well, if this movie gets through, it's gonna mean something. Because one of the things we have to be understanding of is that we're not the only ones with dreams. We're not the only one that's bringing it all to the table. And I was like, whoa, if Roma walks away, because I literally had just finished watching it. Amazing film, but that wasn't Best Picture. But the fact that it wasn't a Hollywood blockbuster, it was a Netflix, I was like, okay, again, trajectory. Mm-hmm. Trajectory. So if a young Spike had won, we'd have been on a different trajectory, and that would have been more homage. But, you know, hey, yeah, we weren't ready. We weren't ready for this one. What, the question is, what do we do after this? Mm. What's next year going to be? What will next year bring?
Well, Yolanda Lattimore, thank you so much for being a guest today on Upfront. Always bringing amazing knowledge. And how can our listeners follow up and keep up with you?
I always tell people, follow Atlanta's Original Digital. We're talking about Black history. That's one of the things I celebrated this month, is being in this game for 17 years. We're Dryer Buzz on every platform. You know, I've gone from celebrities to cooking. Yeah. So we are now in the kitchen, and I'm also, my passion right now is dealing with food insecurity. So definitely follow and check us out at all things Dryer Buzz.
All right, there you go. Well, here's what I want to do, because Spike Lee's acceptance speech was actually first heard here on Upfront.
Yes.
You know, he was roaming the hallways that week that they announced Oscar nominations. And of course,
roaming the hallways, yeah, at his alma mater.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
So we had to jump on the opportunity.
No, he went to Morehouse.
He went to Morehouse, but he took classes here.
Took classes here.
Dr. Eichelberger right down the hall.
Yes.
And so we want to replay. We want to revisit that conversation that we had with Spike Lee. So let's do that right now. Well, this is a pleasure.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, yeah. Congratulations on
thank you very much.
Your nomination for Best Director.
We got six.
That's right.
Six nominations.
Let's count them down. Let's start with Best Director.
Well, first time I've been nominated for Best Director. First time nomination for Best Picture. First time nomination for Adapted Screenplay. My great editor, Barry Alexander Brown, first time he's got a nomination for editing. And you know, Terrence Blanchard, who you guys probably played much of his music here.
Yeah.
My longtime music composer.
Jazz icon,
jazz trumpeter. First time he's been nominated for music composer. And then first time nomination for the great Adam Driver.
Yeah.
And even though my brother John David Washington and I get nominated, he's a part of all the nominees. John Day, what's up, baby? Love you. We love you. We love you. Don't even worry about it. It's all right, baby. It's all right. Ain't nothing but a chicken wing. You'll be back many, many times. So it's all good in the hood. All goody in the hoodie.
Yeah. What, when you were putting this film together, what was the message that you wanted to get out about this film?
Well, number one, I like to say that I really try to refrain from telling audiences what the takeaway of the film is. But in the making of it, my co-writer and I, Kevin Wilmot, what we tried to do with this film was to connect the past with the future. Because the film takes place in the mid-70s. So we felt that in order for this film to be a success, we had to connect the past to the future.
Go to WCLK.com to hear the full conversation with Oscar winner Spike Lee. Well, that'll do it for this week's show. I'd like to thank all of my special guests, Russell Hornsby and Yolanda Latimer. I'd also like to thank Reva Blue, the voice of Casting Buzz, and my engineer, Jami Wellman. Upfront is produced by WCLK 91.9. Please join us next Saturday, March the 9th, for another exciting edition of Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry. Happy Saturday, Atlanta. If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry has been brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.